Welcome back to TechNet Radio. In today's episode, Mark Rosenberg, a technical instructor at New Horizons Computer Learning Centers, joins Matt Hester as they chat about Windows Azure licensing options. Tune in as they discuss all things licensing and pricing, as well as the Windows Azure free trial, the Web Matrix tool, and on-prem versus the cloud. Matt, the mic is yours.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. My name is Matt Hester, and welcome to this next episode of Windows Azure IaaS and You. And today I got the very talented Mark Rosenberg on the phone with us. So, Mark, why don't you tell me about who you are and what you do?
I am a technical instructor at New Horizons in beautiful Austin, Texas. I've been working here just about a year and three quarters. Came from Southern California, where I was a trainer for about 4 years before that, but New Horizons spirited me away from Southern California and brought me to beautiful Austin, Texas, where I train people on .NET and programming and all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah, you even talk about all the server stuff, because that's how you and I actually, I think, met the first time, was at the Windows Server 2012 launch, I believe, in Dallas. You drove up the road a bit to come up and hang out with us here in Big Dallas.
That's true. That's because they had me doing a tour of a number of our offices doing the same presentation. So I wanted to see it before I had to give it.
Yeah, so you actually got to – that's how we kind of met. So we learned we're a little different in some of the skill sets that we have. We also have some commonality in the server. But one of the things I just found out, because it's relatively new, you're an MVP, and it's a relatively – well, you it's not that you're new, because you've been an MVP for several years. Tell folks a little bit about your credentials there, because that's always kind of fun to talk about, because that's a big deal.
I am a C-sharp MVP. I have been for 6 years now. I keep getting renewed. Someone on the C-sharp team must like me. Or I keep doing enough stuff that they like me. I have been a member of STEP, which is Springboard Technical Expert Panel, since its inception, actually. The head of Springboard is a guy named Stephen Rose,
yep.
Who, if you go to Microsoft.com/Springboard, as an IT pro, that's an IT, straight IT pro website, and it's designed for IT pros to help them get ready for the latest Windows desktop, whether that be 7 or 8, whichever one you want to do. They have plenty of information. How do you set it up? How do you create WIMS? How do you get ready for it? What do you need to know? How can you make sure that your applications work on it? The whole ball of wax, all the info you need is right there.
Yeah, and STEP's a really, really good program. But I know you've been digging into the cloud a little bit too as well. You've been digging into Azure as well?
Yes, I became an Azure insider after that tour where I was setting up VMs in Azure. I ran out of my free accounts and had mentioned that to the ASP.NET team, who also work in Azure, with and in Azure, and they set me up. I am now an Azure insider.
So now you can kind of get that unlimited. And I think there's lots of ways to get involved with Windows Azure. I think MSDN subscriptions, if you have one of those, you can leverage that. But, Mark, you and I were talking probably the easiest way to get a hold of is a 90-day trial. So how many 90-day trials did you go through officially?
I don't think I'm supposed to mention that exactly.
One. You went through one.
I went through one with my one email address, yes. So I have an email address, and I got a 90-day trial. And it's actually really cool. The 90-day trial, it's 100% free. You get if you go to WindowsAzure.com, you will find out that there's a free 90-day trial, and it tells you how many hours you get. And, yes, they do make you give them a credit card, which often seems like an awful thing. I get really scared giving Azure a credit card. But unlike the early days, now they will not charge it no matter what.
Yeah, so you didn't get, and that's something that when I talk to IT pros and I talk to them about trying, you know, even if they just want to kick the tires and do a test and dev with Windows Server 2012, Windows Azure IaaS and the virtual machines up there is a great way to do that. And they're like you. They see that form comes up and put the credit card in. And I have to tell them, I have to say the two words that whenever you hear a professional presenter or a trainer say that nobody ever believes, trust me, you're not going to get billed. And when you say, trust me, to an audience, they're like, uh-huh, sure, we're not going to get billed, Mr. Hester. But you're here to tell me, Mark, that you didn't get billed after your 90 days. It's just expired and basically turned off, and that's when you got involved.
Not only did I not get expired, but as I was doing my tour, I ran out of compute hours. And so I would pull up the account that they shut down till the beginning of the next month. And showed people, look, I ran over my hours. They shut my account down.
Yep.
And then they do is they just freeze your account until the first of the next month. And then you get to go again. And hopefully you remember to turn off the virtual machine so that you don't run over, I think it's 750 compute hours. So you don't run over your compute hours while you're demoing virtual machines to IT pros all over the country.
Well, yeah, and I think that's one of the biggest things when people, you know, even if they're paying for their Azure services, if you're not going to use the systems, it's for a test and dev, and especially with the trial, one of the key things you brought up, Mark, and I'm glad you did, was that, hey, this is a 90-day trial. You only have so many hours you can eat up. Make sure you turn off your systems when you're not using them and deprovision them. And it's easy enough to reprovision things. With PowerShell is probably the easiest way to reprovision systems and deprovision them. Otherwise, it's just going to turn off. You're not going to be able to experiment with it, or you're going to have to go get your other buddy and get him to log in or her to log in with their live ID, and you can come in and reset it all up again.
Right. That is the problem. But it was also a really good way to display to people, look, you don't get charged. They're not going to charge your credit card. When you sign up for the 90-day trial, you have a dollar limit of $0. And it won't go over that. Even though I think I wound up 4 cents over it, they never charged my credit card for the 4 cents. And then they shut it down.
Yeah. It's like, well, you're going to get a check later or a bill later in the mail.
For four cents.
One of the things, because we focus a lot, especially as IT pros, and what you were doing in that tour was all about virtual machines. But one thing I try to stress to customers is when they signed up for this trial, it's not just for virtual machines. It's all of Azure. So kind of give the folks a little bit who aren't familiar with Azure. I mean, we have the virtual machines, which is our infrastructure as a service play. What other things are up there in Azure that they may be interested in, either from an IT perspective or just general? You know, what are some of the things that you see a lot of folks with in Azure?
Well, first let me say this. More and more I'm discovering that IT pros need to know about programming and programmers need to know about networks.
Amen to that.
Especially when you're dealing with something like Azure. The line is getting more and more blurred between those. I mean, they used to be really big silos, but now it's much, much less a silo, and it's more like, yeah, this person knows more about networking than me, and I need to work with them a lot because I need networking help. And that's from the developer side. And then the IT pro is saying, yeah, I really need a developer to help me fix this problem because I'm not sure how their thing works.
Yep.
So that's becoming more and more a thing. So Azure provides websites, and you get like 5 or 10 for free. And you can just put up websites. Now, I'll be honest, they won't take a lot of hits. If you're Twitter, you're in a lot of trouble if you're using the free Azure website. But for a simple blog, there's probably not a problem with it. So you get websites. You get your virtual machines. You can do mobile services up there. So let's say I want to have some sort of a service that's gonna go to my phone. I can set that up in Azure. You can set up databases, full-on SQL Server databases.
Now, could you use those databases on-premise too, right? You could add your on-premise
the two together if you want. Yeah,
absolutely.
So, did Active Directory get released yet? It's coming if it isn't released. I think it was released.
Yeah, I think it's just like the backup features. They're still in
Still in beta?
I don't know. I have to check because that's one thing about Azure, folks. That Mark and I are all the reason we're struggling with that question. They seem to change the portal almost daily on us. And they put things in different locations and add things, or things come into preview or out of preview. They don't always tell us.
I believe it's released now because I'm looking at it in Windows Azure. And I believe it's released. So you can actually put Active Directory up in the cloud and have Microsoft host it for you. I will be honest, putting together Active Directory is something that to me is like going out and getting teeth pulled.
Oh, see, now you made me smile when you said Active Directory, because that's kind of my language. I want to be able to go and do those types of things, and I know our service offerings there. But one of the things I think that all IT pros at some way or fashion, and you mentioned one of the services that are in that trial, is websites. And you and I were talking before we started recording, and you mentioned a tool that I'm not very familiar with, but I wanted to talk about it because it looks like it's something that's one of those blurry line tools. I think we should just dub that term now, blurry line tools, tools that, you know, have their feet in both those silos of developers and IT pros in those camps, in a tool on WebMatrix. So why don't you tell the folks a little bit about what WebMatrix can do, for them and help them with their websites as well.
Sure. So WebMatrix is a tool. It is not specifically designed for developers, but developers can use it. If a developer is used to using Visual Studio, they can use Visual Studio. If you've got somebody who needs to keep up a website, maybe an IT pro, because let's face it, finding developers to work on all our simple websites can be a hassle. So you can actually keep work on a website inside this tool, WebMatrix. You can push it up to Azure with one click. You can take a website that's in Azure and edit it in Azure from inside WebMatrix. Or you can make a local copy, edit it there, and then push it back, whichever way you need to do it. So let's say someone comes to you as the network admin and says, yeah, we need to change this little thing up here. Can you just do that? And you know a little HTML, so yeah, okay, fine, I'm going to change this title of this page or something. Well, if WebMatrix lets you do it without going to all the trouble of getting Visual Studio and doing all of that kind of stuff. That's what WebMatrix does. Another feature of WebMatrix is you can use either Team Foundation Server, TFS, or Git, which are both source controls, pull a website into WebMatrix and with one click push that out to the cloud and have it up and running in Azure in moments. One of the cool things is when you first log on to WebMatrix, it's going to ask you for your live ID for Azure. And then it's able to connect to your Azure account and look at the websites up there, pull the copies down, let you edit them while they're there. If you need something simple, you need to do something simple in a website, look at some file, edit it really simply, WebMatrix is a great tool that allows you to do that.
So now, is WebMatrix a free tool?
WebMatrix is 100% free.
Oh, we like free. Everybody likes free.
Everybody likes free. The web platform installer, one of the choices on it is to install WebMatrix.
And this is something that, you know, I didn't even know existed, because I know sometimes we get asked, you know, even by different organizations to stand up websites and maintain a website. And here's just another free tool that can help kind of bridge that gap, because I'm not sure everybody really enjoys speaking HTML as the average bear might. You know, if it was PowerShell website, then I might, you know, might dabble into that a little bit. But, yeah, especially when it comes to website designs, folks sometimes just need someplace quick and easy to go, and they can tie it into those services that are there, and makes it even better that it's free.
You know what else is really nice is when you're in Azure and you're looking at a website, there's a button on the bottom, and this is probably the easiest way to say to install WebMatrix. There's a button on the bottom of the screen that says WebMatrix, and if you click it, it will install WebMatrix on your local machine and then open the website in it.
Yeah, well, and I think
you can do that directly from the Azure portal.
Well, and I think those tools, they're trying to help solve those problems, because at the end of the day, even though we have infrastructure as a service or we have these databases up there, and this is kind of your point you brought up in the show, is as much as I love my infrastructure and I know it has to be supported, it has to maintain, has to be backed up, that apps and the things that run on top of that infrastructure is really what gives it a lot of power. Now, WebMatrix, I presume, is just designed for Azure websites, or could I point that to an IIS server and go nuts that way?
It's for editing any website.
Okay, so I can point it to my local websites.
Yes, I don't know if you can put stuff directly into IIS due to security. It's not designed quite for that type, for security reasons, to go straight into IIS. But let's say you need to edit an IIS, a locally hosted website, you need to just change a couple of things in the HTML page, you certainly can do that in WebMatrix. That's what it's designed for. It's designed for people who do not need or want Visual Studio, but need to be able to edit some website and don't want to use Notepad.
Yeah. Notepad or their favorite text editor. Yeah, definitely awesome.
You want to use, you know, something that gives me IntelliSense and helps me with what can I type here, yeah, and those kind of things, and all of that's built into WebMatrix.
Yeah, I've had enough of my slashes and greater than signs and less than signs in my lifetime in HTML to drive me nuts, and brackets. Anyway, so let's talk about something more cheerful. Let's talk about licensing. So one of the things I think a lot of customers, and that's why I want to talk about just the different things that you can do in Azure, but one of the things you and I were talking about the other day when we were talking about having you come on the show was a conversation that was happening in around licensing. And as we've talked about, when people stand up servers inside of Azure IaaS and they use our virtual machines, the Windows license is included on that.
Correct.
But what happens if I load SQL on top of that server, or what if I move that server to on-premise? So when you talk to customers, and you probably talk to more customers on a daily basis because you have your training background than I do, you know, what are some of their concerns? Are they really worried about the licensing, or what are some of those common questions that you get?
Yeah, actually, they are very concerned about licensing. So here's the deal. If you go and you pick from any of the provided gallery images, and I'm looking here, we have Server 2012 Data Center, Windows Server 2008 R2, SQL Server 08 R2, SQL Server 2012 Service Pack 1, BizTalk Server, SharePoint Server, actually that's a trial, so that's, I don't think they finished that one. Probably other Microsoft tools in the future like CRM, maybe Great Plains eventually. CRM is probably going to come much before Great Plains. But any of those images, and you use that image, create a virtual VM with that image, Microsoft Azure is paying all the licensing.
So it's all included in that cost.
It's included in the cost. It's included in your per hour rate.
And now what happens if we move that down into on-premise? If all of a sudden, you know what, I want to go on-premise with that sucker. That's where it gets fun. Well, interesting, I should say.
Yes. So another scenario for Azure, and this is slightly different than yours, is I want to bring my own license. I want to create the VM on-premise and then push it up to Azure. And that requires you to actually have full licensing. You have to pay for your own licenses, and Azure is considered production. So here's another interesting thing. MSDN and TechNet licenses for testing and development, yes, aren't valid in Azure because Azure is considered a production environment.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's an interesting look at it. What about SQL that's inside there? Because you mentioned that one SQL image. Is SQL licensing included on that one SQL image?
Yes, absolutely. SQL licensing is included. Now, you see higher per hour pricing based on the VM deployed and the image. For example, if you have a large 4-core A3 VM with Server 2012, it's like $36 an hour, $268 a month. The same size VM using SQL Server Web Edition is $405 an hour, $301 a month.
So it's definitely one of those things. It all depends on... Yeah, it might even be...
$405 an hour. It's a lot less than that. I just realized it's $301 a month. You figure out the hours.
There's a calculator up there that I'll make sure that we'll get the link in the bottom of these resources for folks. General idea.
Then if you'd use Enterprise Edition, it's $246 an hour or $1830 a month. So depending on which version of SQL Server you use, the hourly rate is higher, and that includes the licensing.
Yeah, well, and I think that's where some people, they think about this, and this is where, yeah, it's going to be higher. But I think when I look at the cloud and I talk to folks, and it started with our initial conversation, yeah, we have to put a credit card in and trust us that the fact that it's not going to bill you, because right now my MSDN subscription is currently expired as well, so I can't do, you know, I've run out of hours until the monthly's up, and it's basically shut down my account. But I think what people worry about is, you know, it's kind of the analogy when they're riding a bike with Azure. If they're testing it, they don't want to fall off the bike and break all their arms and legs when they fall off the bike. You know, skin knees are right. And I think what they're afraid of is all of a sudden they stand up these machines in test and dev, and they're getting billed, and the bill's going to be a gazillion dollars before they know what hit them, before they can turn it off. Well, that certainly is possible if they choose the largest machines that are out there, and they go really big with everything they're deploying, and they deploy lots of them. Yeah, it's going to drive more. It's like, you know, electricity. The meter's going to be spinning. But that's one of the things when you think about some of those costs. It's going to cost some money, but how is that compared to your on-premise cost?
Right. Remember that Microsoft is taking care of backing up the server for you. They're taking care of making sure the server is always running. Generally, you won't get a phone call at midnight saying there's a power outage and your battery packs are running down in your server room.
Yep.
Or you don't have battery in the server room, because Microsoft is going to be handling that for you. So there's that part. There's also, depending on how much you do with it, there's a full pricing calculator in Azure. The hardest thing about the pricing calculator is just figuring out bandwidth, I think.
Yeah, bandwidth.
You charge for the bandwidth. And that's the trickiest thing about pricing. But so you need to think, okay, let's say I'm using SQL Server 2012, standard retail. It runs about $1,800 per core. So licensing a four-core machine would be $7,200. At that price, you could run the pay-as-you-go gallery image for 10.6 months before you'd price yourself more than that.
And that's something that we can turn on and off. So you may not even incur that. It might take even longer depending on how you're actually using that server.
Correct. Absolutely. So the cost is not that high when you think about it. And that's for full production use and everything. Obviously, on the 90-day trial, you can play with it.
Yeah, the 90-day trial, that'll turn things off in a hurry. I had one of the things, folks, that we talk about the 90-day trial, and we're talking a little bit about licensing of how this works. When you play with the 90-day trial, you're going to see some images, and I think what's like, they just put these, when we GA, we put like a, you know, what's the A7 image, Mark? It's like how many gigs of RAM and like a 32 procs, and I can pretty much guarantee you, folks, if you have only the 90-day trial and you turn on one of those VMs, you're going to have it on for about 2 days. And then they're going to get expired.
Yeah, here we go. A7, which is the biggest one that I can see for Server 2012, is 8 cores, 56 gigs of memory. So, that's a pretty big machine.
And it's going to eat up those compute hours, and you're just going to get turned off. The reason I mention that, folks, is use small. Use the small ones. They're
extra small, yeah.
Well, the extra small, they're in the shared environment. They're not always the most performant, especially when you want to, if you want to install Windows Server and install the different roles on that server and play with Active Directory or some of the other things that are there. Shared isn't always the most performant, but I use small for most of my stuff. The reason I expired this month, I tried one of those large images just to see what would happen. And, wow, it worked really well for the little time it did work.
Yeah, there you go.
I had to try it. I mean, it's just like, dangle it. It's like dangling a carrot in front of a guy who loves carrots.
They have everything from 1 core and 1.7 gigs to 8 cores and 56 gig.
Yeah, and it really depends on the workload. And one of the things, and maybe, Mark, you can talk about this, because I know you have some background in SQL and some of the stuff that in the infrastructure. I think when people think about Azure, it's like, well, I want to have that really big server. And it's really, do I try to create that one big giant box and use that, you know, that 56 gigs of RAM, or do I create just a bunch of smaller instances and scale out instead of trying to, you know, make one big box? Do I try to just throw a bunch of little boxes inside of it? And generally, what do you see customers doing from that perspective, Mark? Do you see them going after those big boxes? Or I see more people, well, I work a lot in the test and dev. I see a lot of folks going after the small, scaling out with a lot of little virtual machines versus one really big virtual machine.
Mostly I see people using the little virtual machines, especially because it's so easy to increase the size of them. If I need to move to a bigger machine, I just tell it I need a bigger machine. I mean, it's not that hard to increase your capacity, to increase what you have. And because it's so easy to gear up, which is one of its selling points. I mean, since Azure first was announced at, what, PDC, how long ago was it? Was it PDC?
I think it was when they launched Windows 7.
I think it was before that.
Was Red Dog, wasn't it? What they had all those pretty. It's funny, is it was, you know, all these red shoed people, and then all of a sudden it became Azure. My check said blue.
Well, see, that's Microsoft's brilliance in naming. is that they used a code name that had nothing to do with the name that they finally picked. Either that or the marketing department I don't want to get into.
Oh, yeah. Please don't. What's funny is, like, everybody's like, "What, you know, what is Azure?" I'm like, it's just a pretty blue. It's just a pretty blue.
It's a pretty blue, but it has a lot of power. And you can start out small, and that was has always been what Microsoft has said. Well, I remember I was at, like, either TechEd or PDC when it first got introduced, and they were saying, yeah, you can start out really small and then grow as you need to. So, and I think Twitter was just becoming really popular then, and they're going, yeah, so look, Twitter, you get the fail whale how often? And for a while, we got the fail whale a lot because Twitter was having a lot of trouble gearing up. They were buying servers as fast as they could buy them, putting them into racks as fast as they could put them into racks. If they were in Azure, they could have just changed a few things in their account and kept growing as they needed to, without buying a ton of equipment, without changing, you know, getting extra T1s into their office, without doing any of that. They could just gear up by going to the portal and saying, yeah, I need more compute power, I need more bandwidth, I need more of this, and Azure would provide it.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we talk about. Azure, really, when you think about cloud services in general, even with the infrastructure services, there's really only two reasons you're going to do it. In their case, it was strategic, right? Because, you know, it's an interesting phenomenon. If you get mentioned on a talk show like Oprah or something like that, and your book gets mentioned in a positive light, you sell bunches of books. Well, if you don't have the infrastructure to sell that, you're not going to sell bunches of books. So people look at it from a strategic advantage. And I think the other one is, does it make sense from a cost perspective? Would it be cheaper for them to bring that all on? And you have to look at all the other things it is to maintain a server. But one of the great things about Azure that I think when folks, especially IT folks, like myself first thought, whoa, I don't want to use Azure. It's going to take my job. And then in reality, especially with infrastructure as a services, there's still a lot of work that IT pros still have to do to maintain those servers. We still have to monitor them. We still have to deploy them, especially if they're our own virtual machines. We still have to patch them, back them up. We have to maintain them. Now, we have kind of Azure taking care of that whole infrastructure, so we don't have to worry about the hardware, but there's still a whole lot of software to be taken care of. Is that what you're seeing as well, Mark?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, if you get a virtual machine, you get an OS and maybe, you know, SQL Server or something, and then what are you going to put on there? How are you going to maintain it? You're responsible for all that. So that's an important job. It's an important job to be able to go into Azure and make sure that everything is working, that you've set it up correctly, if you have a hybrid network where you've got part of it on-prem and part of it in the cloud, you're responsible for making sure all of that works together. So actually, I think there might be more opportunity in Azure than there is just an on-prem.
Yeah, and that's what I try to tell folks is, like, especially if your job was to plug cables in and plug servers into rack, yeah, you might want to think about changing things or broaden your horizons, but almost every IT person I know is a generalist per se. They know a lot about the stuff. Now, they might have specialties in the different products or different components of the operating system, but having that broad background, Azure just takes one of those things off the plate so you can focus on more things, not only for yourself, but also for your company, for the businesses out there. And I think that's one of the things when we look at Azure and we look at cloud services that I think people are finally starting to grok and really look at and say, okay, there is value here and there is something that I can use. And it's another tool that I can put into my tool belt, much like how you use WebMatrix to monitor websites or create and maintain websites. Azure can just be another tool in an infrastructure's tool belt to help leverage those resources in case you do get mentioned on Oprah or your business grows wildly or you have a big burst. Like it's Super Bowl Sunday and you're trying to sell pizzas, or what we just had April 15th here in the U.S., you know, around tax day. I'm sure those financial companies probably need to look at the cloud somehow to help leverage some of that.
Absolutely. I mean, you could just get mentioned. Well, I think actually Twitter took off when it got mentioned at South by Southwest, which is an interactive conference we have in March.
Yeah, right. Awesome conference. I've been there a couple times.
And anytime something gets mentioned, there's a meme that comes out of it. No one's ever sure exactly which program or what it's going to be, but there's going to be some startup that just becomes the meme, the thing. And wow, it just, you know, and you've got to be ready to be able to handle that. And you can go out, you can buy lots of servers and, you know, buy lots of racks. And, you know, it takes, what, a month probably to put a server together, if you're lucky, between, you know, getting a purchase order, getting it signed, getting it ordered, getting it in-house, taking it apart, putting it in the rack, putting the OS on it, doing all of that takes easy a month. And in Azure, it takes minutes.
Yep. I think, and especially, well, in the early preview days, it took a little bit longer than that. But after we GA'd, I think every server I've stood up, I actually stood up a server within 5 minutes, just a base Windows Server 2012 box. Within 5 minutes, it was done provisioning. And I was even, wow, that's faster than I'm used to seeing. You know, and the audience is like, yeah, you just stood up a server. Because one of the things about Azure under the covers, when you say go and you provision that box, that hardware is not even turned on. That provisions everything from the hardware, software, and turns it all the way on from soup to nuts. You know, the only thing that it is, it's already, you know, racked and ready to go. But it's basically from the you know, you hit the power button, provisioning the hardware, sliding this all out, and you get a system in 5 to 10 minutes. I don't care how good you are with racking and stacking, you're just not going to beat the speed of Azure.
No, and it's great for increasing capacity when you need to. And then, you know, remember, after all those book club mentions, they sell a lot of books for a little while, and then interest wanes. And maybe not for Twitter, but for a lot of companies, yeah, you're going to need to be able to, or for a company, you were talking about tax day here in the U.S.
Yeah.
So a company that deals with tax day in the U.S. knows they're going to get a huge buildup right before tax day, and then they're not going to need that much capacity. Or a company that deals with Christmas, you know, a Christmas, something that sells stuff for Christmas, they're going to need to build up in October, November. They're going to be really hot right before Christmas, and the day after Christmas, their usage is going to go off a cliff. But, you know, you can plan for that, and then Azure lets you increase and decrease capacity as you need to.
Yeah, and that's the one thing about what I tell customers, is whether you need 5 computers or 10,000 computers, you're talking 5 to 10 minutes to get those systems provisioned. Now, how you actually do that, probably some kind of script or automated procedure to make it happen, so when you hit go, it starts provisioning 10 systems, but it's designed to do that in a hurry. And I think that's what people forget, is that it's almost like electricity. It's like, hey, during the summer, especially here in Dallas, we're going to turn that air conditioner on a little bit more. Then we'll turn it on inside of the December time frame, which, yes, we still get snow down here in Texas. But the point is it almost becomes an analogy that Brian Prince have used before, and Brian actually gave the analogy, you know, becomes Edison versus Tesla, on-premise data center versus using cloud services. You know, do you have AC or do you have DC in your actual infrastructure?
Right. It's a great way to increase and decrease and just create infrastructure when and where you need it. And another really cool feature of Azure is you pick where you want your virtual machine to be.
Yep.
So it can be closer. You've got a lot of branch offices to deal with. You can have them in Western Europe, Western U.S., Eastern U.S., Southeast Asia, East Asia, North Europe. Where do you need the server to go based on where is it going to be used? We have a branch office in Norway, we might provision a server in Northern Europe. We need more computing power in California, West U.S.
And it's going to help provision those things. And then if you need to keep them together, because that's the other thing that we can do, because you bring up, because we have those different areas and locations you can put that, but maybe you need to have them all in a location together. Inside of Azure, we have a concept inside of the IaaS service called the Affinity Group. And what you can do is basically create an Affinity Group that says it's this, and it'll be tied to one of those geographic locations. But then when you provision your systems, you can point them to that particular affinity group, and that way you know all those systems are going to be physically close together because maybe they need to be in that same area so they can all run together.
Absolutely.
So, Mark, I want to say thank you for taking your time out of your busy day to come in and talk to us. Are there any other closing bits you can talk to folks other than signing up for the trial and that you're not going to get billed? Because just like you, I've had my account expired on those accounts because I haven't turned them to pay-as-go. Any other tips you can give to folks about using Azure or any other tips about Azure IaaS?
Well, I can say this, that if you have an MSDN subscription, you do get some hours, which you know. Yep. Of course, you can go over those hours as well. Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot there. It's, you know, just go check it out. Go to windowsazure.com and see what's there, because not only is there a lot of stuff there now, but there's a lot of stuff coming. They're adding things all the time. It seems like every week or every other week on the Azure Insiders list, they email us, hey, another thing just GA'd. Scott Gu will say, yes, we're about to GA this tomorrow, and then next week we're going to GA something else. So it's always changing. They're always adding features. It's really an exciting place to be. As a developer, as an IT pro, any of those things, I think Azure is a really exciting place to be and an exciting place to look.
Oh, thank you so much, and I agree. I think it is something that everybody kind of just like, everybody needs to learn PowerShell. I think everybody needs to dip in their toe into the water that's the cloud. So with that, everybody, I'm going to say thank you for to Mark for chatting with us today, as well as thank you to all for tuning in and listening to us. Thank you, and have a great day.